Warning, this podcast is subject to vulgar language. Listener discretion is advised.
Yeah, that doesn't sound right. Alex, hit it. Hey guys, welcome to Pwn Stars. I'm Will, aka Captain Hammer.
I'm Ryan, aka John Dar of Cactar.
And today we are actually missing Josh. Boo-hoo. He had a small family emergency, so he's not going to be joining us. So you're not going to hear the tale of Captain Sandwich. And if you remember back to a previous episode, that means we are reviewing Final Fantasy XIV: A Realm Reborn. Why? I mean, the game's only been out, what, 2 years now?
Yep.
We decided to review it now. That doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. But Final Fantasy XV just coming out, we don't want to give a good review on that just yet until we get a little deeper in it. So we're just going to get started on this one. How's that sound?
Sounds good to me.
Okay, so for those of you who don't know, Final Fantasy XIV, A Realm Reborn, is basically a complete remake of the original Final Fantasy XIV, a game that was such a colossal failure that it almost bankrupted Square Enix. Yes, Square Enix, the company who actually just keeps pulling their butts out of the fire magically over and over again.
Hey, don't quit what you're good at, right?
Well, between Final Fantasy XIII and Final Fantasy XIV, they took a big hit. People were starting to lose massive faith in the franchise. But, I mean,
they still had a ton of people playing 11, but not enough to keep it going.
No, I think it was like 50,000 players. Not a whole lot.
But I mean, look at 14 now. It's got more players than World of Warcraft. Active players than World of Warcraft.
Active players, yes.
Make sure I specify that completely, because, you know, there's a lot of those bogus accounts on World of Warcraft.
Yeah, it is an MMO that actually managed to take on WoW. That's a pretty big accomplishment, actually.
Yeah, it's a pretty big feat, especially since, you know, I played WoW. Well, it was fun for a little bit. I just got really bored. When it comes to Final Fantasy XIV, no matter what I do, I keep coming back.
Yeah, it's your standard MMO. You take a couple months off once you've completed all content and come back after a huge patch. There are a lot of people who play constantly. The last time we tried to play, it was actually quite difficult to get on the server. We are on one of the highest population servers. Cactar, as Ryan ended up bringing up.
Yep, it was... And I remember when the game first came out, the remake, obviously, the Realm Reborn compared to 14, I couldn't even get on Cactar. I had to go to Ifrit for the longest time because Cactar was so overpopulated. It maybe 3 months before I could actually jump on Cactar.
Yeah, they had a population lockout because so many people had joined. But it was one of the beta servers, so that was one of the biggest reasons. Anyways, the original Final Fantasy 14 was an absolute disaster. First off, why did you launch a MMO that didn't even have an auction house? That was one of the biggest complaints anybody had. You had no way to sell all of your crafts, no way to try to make any real money. That was one of the many failures of that game, but that's just the biggie we're going to talk about. The graphics for the original were actually decently well done, and the player base that they had was rather loyal. I mean, it went free to play, I think, in less than 2 months because it was just so broken. But they did do a little homage to everybody who ended up playing the original. We will actually come back to that when we finish A Realm Reborn and start in the Heaven's Work. So, the best description I've ever heard for this game, and it's actually going to be the title of the episode, game so nice they had to make it twice.
Who's that? Scott?
No, that was Nos.
Nos, oh, okay, that's right. I wasn't there for that, but I could have... That sounds like something Scott would say. So, it was a... I never played the original 14, and I didn't play A Realm Reborn right off the bat, just because, like I said, I was locked out of Cactar, so I couldn't get in. But I actually was, other than one other person that was in our group, I was the longest reigning person out of us three that had stayed with the MMO itself.
Yeah, a good sign of this is I don't really get a whole lot of time to play video games, but I think my play time was probably over 100 days by the time I ended up stopping.
Oh, yeah, mine was a little over, I think it was like 130-something, not compared to the gentleman who I mentioned before. He's got a lot more time, but he also has a lot more free time on his hands with him balancing kids and, you know, family life and me just having a job that I have to worry about. So it's definitely one of those games that you can just pick up from where you left off last, obviously, because it's an MMO, but you literally can immerse yourself into the world. I can't tell you how many times when the game Sword Art came out or, you know, even just the show, people are like, man, this game would be fantastic in VR and stuff like that. It's one of those worlds where you literally just get lost doing whatever. Whether it be crafting, leveling your skills, whatever.
Yeah, there are people in this game who spend an ungodly amount of time just sitting around and crafting. And for reference, crafting is boring. It's a lot more interactive than it is in other MMOs, but it's still rather boring. But anyways, so the original Final Fantasy XIV, when it ended, they held a scheduled event that was worldwide throughout all the servers. And that was Bahamut. Basically, Bahamut gets summoned, destroys the world. And there were lots of key events that had to occur, and the players, this was the highest login they had ever had. A lot of the servers were so lagged that people couldn't get a whole lot done, but they just wanted to be there. Basically, you fought and fought and fought trying to get these key events done to make sure to save everything. Mm-hmm. And based off of the amount of things that got done, they actually transferred that into A Realm Reborn later on, just because it was only down for maybe a month before the beta started for A Realm Reborn. The beta for this game was actually done in four phases. The first one was simply to see if anybody would actually enjoy it. Second phase was testing stability issues. The third phase, they added PS3 support. That's when I think when you and Josh got in. I actually showed them phase one and two, and they were instantly hooked on this. I actually showed them ESO's beta at the exact same time, and they said, what the hell is this garbage?
Compared to Final Fantasy.
Phase four introduced, that was the controller support, right? You had to play phase three with a mouse and keyboard?
Yep, you had to use phase three with the mouse and keyboard on the PS3, even though it was, you know, added to the PS3. But phase four, they added the controller, and they were testing the servers a little bit on that one, too, just to... Because they had such an overpopulation with the other three phases that they had to make sure that they could accumulate all the people.
Yeah, because once phase three hit, it actually became open beta. So, darn near anybody could get on it.
Oh, yeah.
This game actually had a very high amount of money for a marketing campaign. I mean, Square was pumping every dime it had. If A Realm Reborn failed, Square was gone.
Oh, yeah.
It was as simple as that. They pumped so much money into the original, and then they put all their backing into Yoshi P., into trying to remake this game, and he made a masterpiece. I know we sound like fanboys, but even if you don't like Final Fantasy, this is actually a really great game if you do enjoy MMOs.
Oh yeah, well, I mean, and someone like me who's never played Final Fantasy games except 10, like I mentioned before in the last episode, this was the very first game I put Final Fantasy that I put this much time into. I couldn't stop playing. I'd go to work, play this game. I'd wake up before work, I'd play this game. This was it. It consumed me. I hate saying it that way because it is one of those games.
You had it consumed MMOs my life.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. This was the first real MMO that I actually got to dive into and take care of. And, you know, the character, as I mentioned, Jondar of Cactar, he was mine. He was my creation of who I wanted to be in this world. And that's, and you know, I just felt that level of connection with my character, and it spread from there. It was like a wildfire. Couldn't be stopped.
In true Final Fantasy fashion, the game itself actually has a very, very epic storyline to it. You are basically entrusted by Heidelin, the World Crystal,
mm-hmm.
to basically save all of humanity. This is stopping all the primals, so Garuda and Ifrit and Titan. They're being summoned by the Beast Tribes because these are their gods. Basically, they're false idols.
Yeah. So it's making sure that you are the protector of this realm. It's not just A Realm Reborn, like they threw the title in there for, you know, hey, we came from 14 to a new realm. It's, you're making sure that the events that took place before don't happen. You know, like they show in the flashback in the first scene.
They actually do keep the Warrior of Light from the original. They actually got teleported basically into the future. All of this actually occurred. It's not an alternate timeline because there is actually... All the NPCs actually make reference to this, mm-hmm. that this event occurred. What was it, Dalmund?
Yep.
That's where Bahamut ends up getting locked up, which later it's the Binding Coil of Bahamut is how it's referred to in the game.
Yep.
But you're going through and you're stopping not just the Beast Tribes from summoning the old gods, because this is taking a huge toll on the world. When Ifrit gets summoned, it's basically ripping the fire element from the world itself, and Heidelin's getting weakened from it. With Garuda, it's Wind, Titan, Earth. So you are not only responsible for the salvation there, but there is an invading empire that you're actually trying to save the people from. The people don't know about all of the stuff on the side. Eventually, they are aware that you are the Hero of Light. And the game does a very good job of actually making you represented as that. Between all the cutscenes, between all of the interactions with NPCs, you actually build a reputation. And it's not just like a reputation meter, where once you hit a point that people's dialogue changes. It's a gradual change throughout the game.
Oh yeah, and it's not so much, like you said, it's your character becoming the Hero of Light due to a progression bar. It's the story brings you to light as the Hero of Light. It's, you know, some of the games where you have to just fill up a bar and stuff like that, that could be kind of lame. So when, you know, you're just watching the story, and if you're Captain Sandwich, a.k.a. Josh, you are skipping every cutscene and making your own story up, which is, you know, for him, good for him. But like me and Will, we probably spent a good, maybe 24 hours of the actual game actually watching the cutscenes that we have of playtime.
Yeah, that's just how many there are. And they are long, epic cutscenes, and this actually brings to the downside of this game, and this is just MMOs in general, the community. There are key points, there are key dungeons, there are all the primal fights. There's normally a cutscene after your very first finishing of it. And people have a huge problem with people watching cutscenes during these dungeons.
Oh, yeah.
Especially the last two dungeons are really bad because they're very, very story heavy. And if you decide to watch the cutscenes, there is a good chance that you're going to still be at the very beginning of the dungeon when everybody else beats it.
Yeah, like the literally, like you mentioned, almost the very last dungeon you do for the main scenario quest before updates started taking over. You get to the end, you can push your way all the way through. But if you try to watch that last cutscene, the fight at the end is done before you're even done with that cutscene. That's how fast they push this battle.
Yeah.
And I understand that, you know, people get impatient and everything like that. It's a long cutscene.
But there are a lot of players, especially later on, because like all MMOs, there is a bit of a grind. You could get tombstones for having completed these quests over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
So older players had extra people to go in with them. It gave you a reason to go back. And there were a lot of people that would just farm these, and they would literally say, if you have not done this, watch the cutscenes. We'll take care of everything. So you're basically watching a movie at that point. It's an hour and a half to finish the dungeon, and it has like 40 minutes for the cutscenes in it. There's actually not a whole lot to the dungeon itself.
Yeah.
But if your party goes beyond a specific point, it doesn't just skip that cutscene. It just goes straight into the next one until you're caught up.
Yeah.
And yeah, it kind of sucks that you're missing out on the fights and everything, but the fact that people aren't complaining and ripping into you that you're stopping and watching these cutscenes, they want you to enjoy the game. They want you to enjoy the story. They're taking care of the minor bit. Yeah. So normally, the first time you go, you would go into these dungeons after the first couple months of the game is out. You'd have people to say, okay, you can skip the cutscenes. Or you can watch all the cutscenes and we'll just take care of everything as long as it's not like half the party.
Yeah.
The next time you go through, if you say you don't know the fights because you watched all the cutscenes the time before, people will sit there and explain the fights to you. They aren't going to sit there and just argue saying, you need to know your job. There are people that do that. There are plenty of people that do that.
There's tons of people who do that, and that brings up another point with it. I'm not trying to cut you off or anything.
Oh, you're fine.
But, I mean, like he was saying, the community can be an issue because they have what's called the Party Finder where you can search for other people, and you can tagline this party, must know dungeon or don't join, and stuff like that. And that's understandable because you should have already done the dungeon by then. But if you get into just a random group using the Party Finder mechanism that they threw into play, and you don't know the dungeon, people will literally leave before it starts so they don't get the lost bonus.
Now, the one thing that we need to explain in regards to this is that this is actually not as
frequent?
As frequent as you would think.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people that have no problem simply explaining the fights to you. And that's the big thing in regards to this in comparison to, say, World of Warcraft, because World of Warcraft was really bad about it when I left.
Mm-hmm.
If you did not know a dungeon, you were now fodder. They didn't care. Unless you were a super important role, in which they say you shouldn't have gone in there to begin with.
Yeah.
But the community, for the most part, will explain everything to you, because you're going through as a team. And if you don't succeed at that, well, you don't get a whole lot from it.
And it's like I always say every time you go into those fights, because, I mean, I've played the game so much that when new people show up, I unfortunately have a higher standard. I'm one of those people that's like, hey, you should have done this dungeon by now. If they're like level, you know, 30-something and they're doing a dungeon that they should have done a long time ago, and they just don't know how to do it, I kind of get a little upset at first, but then I'm like, oh, they're new. They said they're new. They don't know what they're doing. And I forgive it, you know? But when they start making constant mistakes, when they, you know, max level 280 light gear or whatever it was at the time, and you start to get a little peeved at what they're doing.
Yeah.
And it's just because out of the sheer audacity that, how have you not done this dungeon yet? You have all this gear. This doesn't make sense.
Yeah, this is story related. How did you get this far?
Yeah.
I mean, if it's not a story related dungeon, you can kind of understand because you can just kind of skip it and just go back to it later. But the scale of the story is phenomenal. And every single major patch. Now, the patches for this game is Realm Reborn was 2.0 because it was the second chance of the game. And then you had like 2.01, 2.02. This was just small stuff. No big deal. You know, minor fixes, you know, the standard.
Added this here, did this, changed this around, up this, did this.
Put like 3 quests in.
Yep. Something,
but then you would hit 2.1, and every 0.1 increase, you got 3 dungeons, like 2 hard modes. You got a lot of content. Between 2.1 and 2.4, you basically got an entire expansion to the game.
Yeah.
And they continued this trend after the expansion came out.
Which, the expansion added new areas, new dungeon stuff, we'll get into that later. They even give you a free class with the update before the expansion. They give you a free ninja class.
Yeah, they give you ninja.
So, I mean, they're 100% back in this game. They know they did good with the re-release of Final Fantasy. So they're like, hey, they stuck with us. Let's give them something for it. Let's give them all these dungeons that are now hard mode. Give them extra ways to get their light level up so they could do the harder stuff without having to worry about dying. You know what? Let's just throw a free class in there. Granted, they said they're not going to do that again, but, you know, things could change.
Well, it took a little longer for Heavensward to come out than they were expecting.
Yeah.
Plus, they were also... Okay, so this game has a class system and a job system. The class system is your starting class. You're an archer, you're a bard, you're...
Well, nope, bard is... That's the job.
What's he? Archer, conjurer,
gladiator,
thaumaturgist,
war mage, warrior, thaumaturgist,
gladiator,
said conjurer. Yeah. Oh, so I mean, there's a bunch of the classes that turn into the jobs that give you the extra skills.
And the way that they actually do that is it's pretty cool. There is a side story in regards to all of them, and basically you have a hero. You are attuned to a hero's soul from previous legends.
Mm-hmm.
So the soul. You get the soul of the warrior, or you get the soul of the bard.
Yeah.
And these are people that lived pre-Bahamut destroying everything. And so you go through all of this, and all of these stories, for the most part, are pretty good.
Yeah.
There were a couple that I'm just like, I don't really care, I'm just going to skip it, and I'll watch it at the end later. Oh, if you ever had to skip a cutscene, you can go back to your interim and watch it.
Yeah, that's another big thing that they added is a... that cutscene, if you got those really impatient people that wanted to know the story, and also wanted to do the fights at the same time, you can skip that cutscene and go back later. You may not know what's going on in the dungeon, because the cutscene are somewhat important to it, but, I mean, literally finish the dungeon, go back and watch it on your own time, so you don't have to worry about people pressuring you into skipping the cutscene and going forward.
When you actually finished the storyline for 2.0, it plays the credits like it would in any other game. Now, that's not normal for an MMO. Now, they don't really play credits. There's normally a button on the main screen that says credits.
Mm-hmm.
But what they ended up doing is, after the credits rolled, they had a special thanks to page. Now, you know, most games have a special thanks to, and it's like the families of the developing team and stuff like that.
Or this person who unfortunately passed during development.
Yeah. For Final Fantasy XIV... A Realm Reborn, when you ended up beating it and it went to the special thanks page. Mind you, you could skip this, but it had a list of every character ever created on the original Final Fantasy XIV. They did a thank you to all of their original players. Now, I only played maybe 10 hours of the original, but my name was on there.
There you go.
And I actually sat through it, that exceptionally long, huge list, just to see if my name was on there, because somebody had told me that they were. And I actually saw a bunch of my friends' names on the game, and that's how I found out that they had played the original game. They didn't tell us.
But you knew, hey, well, this person's here.
And it did a very good job of also working alongside with a console.
Oh, yeah.
A PC console for Final Fantasy XI, it worked rather well with
Xbox,
Xbox 360. And the not so much with the PS2, well, but that's because the PS2 used a modem.
Yeah.
You had the Ethernet one, but it didn't.
Yeah.
Just the processing power of the PS2 alone it made it a bit difficult. It worked rather well. You didn't have huge latency issues, but it did work. Mm-hmm. When it came to A Realm Reborn, they wanted to make sure that they could combine it to a console because they wanted it to reach a much wider audience.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the problem with this had nothing to do with the game itself. The problem with this had to do with the community.
Oh, yeah.
PS3 players and PC players did not get along very well because PC players thought that PlayStation players were holding them back. Now, I played it on the PlayStation. I have a free copy for the PC that I had for having the original Final Fantasy XIV.
Yep.
I just prefer it on the PlayStation because I get to put it on the big TV, not have latency issues.
Party system, not, without switching between consoles or having to have another, you know, taskbar open like Skype or something like that. There is a channel inside the game itself, but PlayStation Party Chat, to me, has just always been better in that sense.
Well, the in-game one doesn't work horribly well. It never works well in an MMO.
Oh, yeah. Press button to speak. Oh, that's annoying.
So they did their best to make sure that everything worked well together. And the only time you ever came up with a real issue was if you were doing final raids.
Mm-hmm.
Because the PlayStation had a bandwidth cap.
Yep.
So when it came to those super intense fights, it wasn't that the PlayStation couldn't keep up graphically. It was just trying to transmit all that information at once. So you had the shut-off effects, and it worked just fine after that.
Yeah.
I mean, I did those end raids on my PS3.
I don't think I ever got to the end raids on PS3. I think it wasn't until PS4 that I actually got
Yeah, when I took you into mm-hmm. the Binding Coil.
Yep.
But it was, people would always complain, and there was somebody in our free company, which is a guild, that would always complain that her issue was she's using a PS3. And everybody in the free company knew I was on a PS3, and, well, I was main healer for endgame raids.
For everything.
For everything. So, they knew that wasn't the issue, but it took probably about 2 months of listening to her gripe that it was her PlayStation was the issue before anybody said anything that, you know, Captain Hammer's on a PS3 right now.
Like, he's not playing PC. He's doing this on the PlayStation 3.
But, like I said, that's just a convenience thing, because my PC will run it just fine.
Oh, yeah. And you know, the game itself, I waited until PlayStation 4 to fully get into it. And that was just personal preference, because I knew about the bandwidth issue. And, you know, around the time Final Fantasy 14 and Realm Reborn came out, there was so much crap out as well. And me not being an avid Final Fantasy fan, I was like, eh, whatever, I can live without it. But they gave you that free jump up for $10 to get the PlayStation 4 license, and I said, eh, what the hell, why not? So I bought it.
You had to pay $10?
Oh, no, it was free, wasn't it?
It was free for the first 90 days or something like that.
Yeah, so I got it for free. Sorry, my bad. But yeah, I did the jump up to the PS4. I played it with the PS4 controller and did everything with PS4, and I fell in love with it immediately. Like, all my other games fell to the wayside. I was playing Call of Duties and stuff like that, you know, your traditional games that you play. And they just fell to the wayside compared to Final Fantasy. I was too busy trying to get that bard to level 50.
And one other thing that they did really well was being able to use a controller did not hinder you at all. I actually think using the controller for certain things is far easier than using a PC. I think a PC does a far better job if you were trying to tank, but the controller does a far better job if you're trying to heal, which is really freaking weird. I think about it, but I'm not cycling through enemies, I'm cycling through party members, which is actually far easier to do with a controller than it is.
Oh yeah, you just press up and down and done. You're at that person up and down.
I mean, you're not having to do F1, F2, F3 to scroll through your people. You're just literally like, okay, player 3 needs heal. Down, heal.
Yeah, and you know, the controller didn't add anything bad to it. I'm not an avid keyboard and mouse user. I honestly have never owned a PC that could run 90% of the games that I would like to run.
Well, I thought the controller was going to be horrible, but once they introduced it, I'm just like, I can't go back to the keyboard. What I do in the game is just far easier for me to handle in regards to a controller, because I have to be on the move and make sure to be able to quick select everybody for healing. It just worked better on the controller. But when you're cycling through enemies, not so much.
You get used to it eventually, like when I was playing the Thaumaturgist and going into Black Mage. But when, you know, you're cycling through those enemies, it gets to be second nature. And I eventually plugged in a keyboard and mouse into my PS4 to try and use that instead. I couldn't do it. I couldn't cycle through enemies fast enough. I couldn't hit the spells fast enough. It's just because I'm so used to that controller, I cannot go to the keyboard and mouse. I mean, I probably could with practice, but I mean, I've got this much time in the Final Fantasy. I want to go. I want to get up. I want to start going. I want to move. I want to be doing what I need to do.
Okay, so we're going to talk about the standard MMO things. There are three main roles. They were originally planning for four. They were planning for a support role, which was what the bard technically was. That's why they got transformed.
And later machinist.
And later machinist, yes. You have your standard healers. White Mage, Scholar.
Later Astrologian.
We're not talking about Astrologian. That was later. You had...
DPS.
An insane amount of DPS, but yeah, it was all a matter of ranged, magical, physical, because everything really mattered. I mean, the monk did great against blunt. The lancer does great against piercing. The archer does great against, well, piercing.
Yeah.
But the bard's main job is to make sure
the songs are going
in those dots.
I need more dots now.
And then you had your casters, so Black Mage, because it's, well, Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
Which you need to understand your spell rotations.
Yep.
You need to keep a real good look at your MP, because this is one where your MP is constantly going up and down.
He hurts.
This is not like your standard. This is not your standard caster where you just have an MP bar and you need to make sure it doesn't deplete. No, you need to know what to do as soon as it depletes, because you're going to deplete it fast.
You're going
to
almost deplete it, and then it's going to come back in 2 seconds. You're going to almost deplete it, and then it's going to come back in 2 seconds.
Yeah, the fire spells will rip through your MP, but they do an insane amount of damage. The blizzard spells will put a stack that actually gives you massive MP regeneration. So you have to make sure, because if you screw up, you're sitting there doing nothing.
I mean, there's strength. Why do you wait a little bit? So they give you another spell to kind of counteract that, you know. So if you accidentally use too much fire and you don't have enough to cast Blizzard, you can use Transpose,
yeah, but
it only does one stack.
One stack, so you're...
You have to wait till you get enough, and then you can cast Blizzard 3 to get the rest of the stacks.
So they actually did a really interesting job in regards to that one. Summoner. I don't have kind words about Summoner, because you can be really, really good about... you can be a really good Summoner. Your entire job is dots. That's it. If you think you have another job, you're playing the wrong class.
You can't attack. He does have his spell.
Yes, but there are people who will literally cast Ruin 2. It's an instant cast, lowest damage in the game spell.
And not to mention, it does the exact same damage as the one that casts for half of the... or for double the amount that the original one costs.
There are people that will only spam that spell, not put any dots out. You're of absolutely no use to me. Your summon doesn't do much damage. Unless you have Titan out, who...
Tanks.
It's a nice little off-tank. Mm-hmm. Oh, then you have your tanks.
Well, I mean, and that's why I always chose Ifrit for boss battles. Because Ifrit was the highest DPS output. Garuda was good for ranged enemies, because she didn't fly away. That was the worst thing about Summoner, is if you had Ifrit or Titan out, the second an enemy would be dead, they would fly to you, then fly to the next enemy.
Summoner and Scholar are not controller-friendly.
No, not at all.
Because you have to be able to place your pets.
Yep.
Let's see. Tanks. Warrior and...
Gladiator.
Paladin.
Oh, yeah, I keep forgetting it changes into one and the other.
Yes.
Even though I have a level 6.
Because you start as Marauder, not Warrior.
Yep.
So, Warrior and Paladin. Both serve their purposes. There had always been an argument about which one was the better tank. And if somebody was a very avid tank player, they only chose one.
Yep.
And that was a mistake.
Oh, yeah.
Because you would argue that your class was the best. No. Your class has a way of doing things, so the other one has a way of doing things. Both are good at certain things. A paladin is very good at enemies that are difficult to position, because you have a very wide-range AoE threat game.
And you can move them and get them where you need them.
The warrior manages to do more damage, but all of its threat was cone-based. I mean, you had to position everything properly to make sure to be able to hold it. You'd hold far better as a warrior than you could as a paladin.
The problem with the warrior that I always found with me personally, and this isn't me saying that I like one over the other, because, I mean, out of the eventually three tanks that they had, I still liked the Paladin more because of the wide-ranged AoE that could get them maneuvered right the way. My problem with the Warrior was I ran out of TP too much.
You needed to learn how to balance that.
And that's where my issue was. I didn't want to take the time into learning Warrior because we already had a Warrior main in the party. So there's, in some cases, it's better to have a Paladin and a Warrior if you have the chance to have an off tank and a
If you have an eight-man
dungeon, exactly. So, I mean, I always wanted to have a tank that wasn't necessary, that I had to continuously play, but I knew how to play it, and it wasn't Warrior because of Captain Sandwich being the primary Warrior in a group.
So John's normal job was DPS, because I was always filling the healer role. I was just the best of our group at it.
Mm-hmm.
I liked playing other things, but then I seemed to get really bored when I wasn't healing.
Yeah, it's a vicious cycle.
Josh, Captain Sandwich, was our main tank.
He's our designated tank.
But we do trade off. Like Ryan said, he actually prefers Paladin over Warrior, but that's because he managed to actually play a lot of times Paladin. I prefer Warrior over the other two. Because it's just, I'm very good at positioning enemies directly the way I need them. And I know once I've got them in position, I'm not going to lose them. Now, if a DPS pulls something, the Paladin is far better at getting it. Unless it's, if it's only one enemy, the Warrior can do a real good job of getting it.
Yeah.
But a Paladin, if it's a group, can just literally run over flash. He doesn't have to worry about positioning.
Either flash or circle of scorn.
Yep.
Just instant.
Later, they introduced Dark Knight, and that was now Captain Sandwiches.
That was pretty much a hybrid of the Warrior and the Paladin, because it had the AoE based threat game, and it had it kicked your butt. It was a damage.
One thing you could do in this game was you could take abilities off of your base classes.
Mm-hmm.
You had so many cross class skills. I think it's 5 if you have a job crystal on, right?
Yep.
10 if you don't. But you're not limited on what you can take.
Yes.
As there are specific spells and skills only that you could take.
Yeah, like tanks, for the most part, in jobs, could only take provoke. If you're playing as a bard, you couldn't take provoke, because if you're provoking as a bard, you're doing something wrong.
If you're provoking as a bard, you're a dick.
If you're purposely stealing threat as a bard, you're a dick. Which is really easy. It's a lot easier than you think to take threat from people.
The biggest advantage that the bard has the lowest DPS in the game, but it has the advantage of it doesn't have to position itself around an enemy. It doesn't have to follow an enemy if it starts to move. It doesn't have the problem of you can't do that while moving. Everything can be done on the fly. So yeah, you can easily rack up damage while an enemy's just coming towards the tank.
Yeah, hit your two dots, and then as you get on later at the bard, those two dots, if they crit hit, you get your Bloodletter skill instantly.
It's a shit ton of damage.
It's a ton of damage. So you just sit there and you make sure they got the two dots on them, and you're just pounding the crap out of them. And then that's basically how you play the Bard, and then you notice someone's TP is getting low, notice someone is taking too much threat, you want to do more magic-based damage, or if the MP is running low for the group, pop that song and get them ready. Because you take a sacrifice in DPS if you do that.
But you're making sure that your healers have the ability to keep MP everybody up. Or if you have a Paladin and for some strange reason they ran out of MP because they flashed way too much.
Yep. Over flashing is a bitch.
Then you can get that back for them.
It's a vicious cycle as a bard, but it's fun for me.
Yeah, you are the support character. In the fact that they decided to go away from actually having a support role.
Mm-hmm.
And not giving the bard the DPS, but if you give the bard the equal DPS to everybody else, you'd be having some massive threat issues.
It'd be the monster class, is what I would like to think about.
It would be the new ninja.
Yeah.
So once Ninja came out, everybody ended up playing it.
Yeah.
Every freaking DPS. In almost every dungeon you started, all your DPS was ninjas. It sucked. Big time. Because they're the rogue of Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
Using a WoW reference. And I'm not talking, you know, skill-wise. They are the stereotypical rogue, because half of the players are looking at that threat meter and trying to chase it.
Yep.
It's like, that is not a DPS meter, dude. That is a threat meter.
It means you're hitting it hard, a lot harder than the tank is, but that's not a good thing, because the second you piss off your tank, let's see, pecking order. Don't piss off the white mage. Don't piss off the tank. Done. You piss off the tank, the white mage can probably feel some sympathy for you and keep you alive. The second you make that white mage mad, you're done. Completely done.
Yeah.
And that's what happens when these ninjas came in and started just chasing that threat bar. I can remember countless times.
They would just run in and pull, and I would just tell them, you do realize that it's not my job to heal the party. It's my job to determine who lives or dies. And, well, I've already decided.
Yeah, I was witness to this. I wasn't playing ninja. I was playing my bard or leveling some other class. And I would just watch Will let them die because they were purposely taking threat. And they would even say in the chat log that they were purposely taking threat away from the tank because they could.
And if you were playing a rogue, you could take provoke.
Oh, yeah.
Before you got ninja. And we do that to each other. If it's just us and one of our buddies in a party, I will go in because I didn't have ninja at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just got ninja like right before we quit playing because I didn't like the class.
Yeah.
But I would purposely keep provoke on there just to make Josh angry.
And, you know, I'd sit there. If you were playing DPS, I was obviously healing. And I'm not going to let you die because we're having fun in the dungeon. The game is, for the most part, it's about having fun with the game. That's what they're trying to go for. And then you get all these people who just take the game so seriously. And granted, I took the game very seriously because that was my game for the longest time. But I was never as bad as some of those people that purposely chased that threat bar and just were complete dickbags in the game. Yep. And the community, for the most part, is nice. They're really helpful.
Yeah, this is the nicest community I've ever had in an MMO.
There was a gal that we met not too long ago, right before we quit. She literally ran us through the newest raid. We literally just found her standing there. She was following Josh around. Her friend came up, and I was just standing there. He was dressed as a she in the game, but they just started following us around. We started talking to them, and poof, they just helped us out. So, I mean, it's a great community, but there's the two or three ugly ducklings that all pop out.
Yeah, really make you just two or three out of every 100 or so.
Yeah.
Like I said, they're really, really friendly community and normally rather helpful. If you need something to finish a quest, there's a good chance you can advertise, hey, I need this item. Does anybody have one? And you're going to have a lot of people who are like, oh, sure, it's going to cost you 50,000 gil. And then you'll have people like me that will be like, okay, I have the materials. 100 gil. Even though you could sell it on the auction house for an insane amount more, it's just you want to help everybody because you were in that boat at one point.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, you want to be able to, you know, say that guy needed that for his Zodiac weapon, which is just an upgraded version of the weapons later on. Say they needed that for that specific thing. And then you need something later on because they got ahead of you. That person's going to be like, oh, yeah, why not? I'll help you out.
Yeah, when I went back last time, there were people that I would randomly help out. I normally tried to help out everybody I could when I was playing that game. And, you know, I was basically playing the character.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not a role-playing server. It's just I get really attached. My job is to keep you alive, therefore I'm going to help you. I mean, it's just you get really in touch with what you're trying to do. Like, Josh got very good at, he'd be running around and see somebody getting their butt kicked. He would hop off his chocobo and just immediately tank everything for them so they could finish the quest.
Yeah. I mean, and we all did that at some point in times when we were searching again for that Zodiac weapon, which, you know, there'd be people who were brand new starting off in the starting area, which is the easiest place to farm. And then we would see them struggling. I would hop off the chocobo. I'd be playing just as my bard, and I'd just shoot everything that wasn't his quest people down and just go about my business. I mean, it was that easy.
So I think we're going to step away from Realm Reborn for a little bit. We're actually sitting pretty far on the time, and we still need to talk about Heavensward.
Yes, we do.
Heavensward, when Heavensward ended up coming out, there was a rather epic finish to A Realm Reborn. And that patch launched, what, a week before Heavensward actually officially
yes.
launched?
Yep.
So you could finish the main story basically just in time to immediately start in Heavensward. Heavensward added three new classes. It added Dark Knight, which is a fan favorite.
Yep.
Astrologian, which nobody knew what the heck was doing, and congratulations, you just released the most complicated healer.
Yeah.
Fun as hell, but complicated.
Yeah.
And basically, if you have a gambling addiction and like to heal people, that's your class.
Yeah, pretty much. And then they gave us the Machinist.
Which, Meh.
It was a fun class at first to level up, but the problem with the machinist that they, when they added him, was his rotation with Monk, with Dark Knight, with, you know, pretty much every class that has a rotation, it's not always going to proc for the machinist. And it's got a low chance to proc to that next one to do extra damage.
Yeah, so you have these buffs just to get it to guarantee it activates.
Yeah, so you'll be sitting there shooting. You've used all your buffs. You're sitting there trying to activate the next proc. You finally get it. You're so happy. You hit him with that second one. And the third one doesn't proc. You're like, well, that was a waste of 20,000 TP.
Yeah, it was a much... It became much better once they fixed that.
Oh, yeah.
There were some balancing issues. Dark Knight was overpowered. Astrologian was definitely the weakest of the three healers.
Yep.
Despite the fact I still managed to do endgame content without any issue.
Yeah.
But that's because I've spent so much time healing. There were parties that when they see an Astrologian, they just disband.
Yep.
And it was bad because I'm just like, okay. I'm like, whatever. Like, there's eight of us. You decide, oh, we can't do this with an Astrologian. So three people leave and then we just do the whole thing with only five people because I can keep them all alive.
Yeah.
Like I said, a lot of that is, that's when you run into the douchebags.
Yeah.
But that's any gaming community. That is not just simply this one.
You're going to find it everywhere.
Yeah. Some games, it's a lot more prevalent than others. This one is actually really good about it. So those three classes got added, and including a massive, massive storyline that they have continued expanding on to this day. Once you actually reach the end of Heaven's Ward, can you say that you wanted to kick somebody's ass as bad as you wanted to kick the, what was he, the Archbishop or whatever?
Yeah, the Archbishop? No. Honestly, I hated that douche. I was so happy in that second to last raid for just Heaven's Ward, not any, you know, releases afterwards, but just the end of Heaven's Ward.
Any true fans of Final Fantasy, you finish A Realm Reborn, spoilers, you finish A Realm Reborn fighting Ultima Weapon. You know, a very, very prominent boss enemy. You finish a Heaven's Ward by fighting the Knights of the Nine.
Yeah, that's exactly what you did. You fought the Knights of the Nine.
And it was, oh God, it was just it was the destroyer in regards to you.
And, you know, I can't say that it was a hard dungeon or raid, I guess, because it took a lot of people to do it. It was.
You were all over the place.
But it wasn't the fact that it was hard as in they did too much damage. It was hard because you literally, it was, if you were playing a class that had to stop for 2 seconds, you almost kind of get screwed a little bit because you were literally running all over the place.
That's where you get, this is not like WoW where you have to watch out for specific prompts for enemies. I mean, you kind of do for some, but they have markers for where abilities are going to hit. So if you have a circle-wide AoE around a boss, run the hell away, which means your melee is no longer doing damage.
Yep.
There are cone attacks, line attacks, random freaking placements. And this sounds like it makes it very easy, but you have to be very good about getting out of the way. I mean, it gives you basically a split second to decide it's time to move.
And like I said, people who are, you know, knowledgeable in the Final Fantasy games, you're literally 9 enemies. It's not a joke. Like, it's literally 9. I mean, granted, you're only fighting one big one, but you have
all the line attacks and the AoEs.
9 attacks at once. So it could be, you know, that middle circle you can't go in, and then there's a line attack making just small little V-shaped or triangle-shaped areas that you can stand in. Guess what? Bard's still putting out damage. Black Mage is still putting out damage.
But not so much, because they had to stop casting the move.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if they're already in that area, they're fine. And then, like I said, if you have to stop to do an attack, you're pretty much screwed at that point, because you can't stop. The bard can just keep going. But, you know, it's not the fact that it's hard.
That's why it's the lowest DPS class, because it can always be damaging. If your bard is not damaging, your bard is doing something wrong.
Yep. If you are not sometimes wondering if your bard is about to take threat, your bard's doing something wrong.
Yeah, and if it's later in a fight, the bard's not going to take it.
Oh, yeah.
But at the very beginning, it is, you need to tell them to slow the hell down, because they have a lot of things that they can burn at once, but they have to, because that starts their rotation once all of those are starting to cool down.
But you have to at least wait for the tank to get in position to do them, because you will just pull those enemies, and then your tank just has to do double the work.
There are a lot of things that, there are a lot of people that are actually rather new to MMOs who actually come and play Final Fantasy. I run into them all the time. And just, if they run into a douchebag, they're just very disheartened in regards to it. And I have run into a lot of new players where they don't understand how MMOs work. Like, they don't understand if you take threat, run to the freaking tank.
Yeah.
I mean, run away. That is your number one. Do not run away from the enemy. Run through the enemy. Take the hit. Get to the tank. Because the tank's already got everything in position. So they will take it from you. And your healer will keep you alive the moment they see you running towards the tank, because they know you're doing your job. And then you have, and if you don't do that, that's where you're going to have somebody speak up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of the time, you're going to have screw-ups. I mean, even skilled players. Or you're going to have people like me, they're just complete jerks and see what we can get away with.
Yeah.
And that's one other thing in regards to it is, like, if you go back with a group of friends and you're doing lower-level dungeons, you're no longer just going to sit there and go, well, it's like, I've done this 100 times. Like, Braeflok's Longstop.
Oh, God.
I've done this 100 times. And then Josh is like, where will we go? And then he just sees me running back with, like, 7 enemies chasing me.
Yeah.
He's like, what are you doing? I'm trying to make it fun again. Let's see what we can do.
And if you're with a group of people that are understanding, or, like, with your friends, that's probably the best way to do it. I can't tell you how many times me, Will, Josh, and our other friends have played that specific dungeon, Braeflok's Longstop.
It's a very common one for the roulette.
Yep. Well, and it's because it's in the middle between, what is it, 32... I can't remember the levels anymore. It's been a while, but it's...
I think it's 36 because Hawkman is 32.
Yeah, so it's literally right there in the middle between Job Crystal and actually getting the levels you need. Because there's a point in the game where it comes to a dead stop on quests.
Yeah.
And
Desmond Darkhold.
Yeah, and so you're like, you're just trying to push through this. And, you know, the same thing happened in Heavensward when it first came out. The XP balance was pretty crap. How it used to be. Now it's pretty decent, but like, there'd be spots.
Talking about 20 million XP to get to that level?
Yeah. So, like, in Heavensward, it was so much XP you needed, you literally had to grind the exact same dungeons maybe 30 times a night just to raise that one level.
I can't believe we didn't mention this. Final Fantasy does one thing that I have not seen in regards to any mainstream MMO. I've seen it in a couple other MMOs where you could, like, go talk to somebody, change your class. But for Final Fantasy, literally, you could change your class at any time.
Oh, yeah.
You played one character. You could have multiple characters of each race. They all kind of had their advantages. But for the most part, they were all pretty equal in the end. But your one character could be... You could have a level 50 tank on it, and you're a level 17 healer. You're not getting huge advantages from having those increased classes. But that means you can fill any role without having to log off and be like, hold on, guys, I'll go switch to my tank.
Yeah.
It's just, okay, click a button, your gear changes, your class changes.
Oh, we need a tank for this dungeon. Okay, just give me a second. Done. I'm into my tank.
Yeah, the worst you're going to have to do is, hold on, let me redo my hotbar.
Yeah.
That's it.
And that takes 2-3 minutes.
And the hotbar is registered to the classes. It's just, if you haven't played a class in a long time, you're looking at your hotbar going, okay, what's where?
Yeah, or
like, I might need to rearrange these a little bit.
Or, what's wrong with my hotbar? Oh, everything's all over the place. How do you know this?
Yeah, it's because you were just playing it to level it up, and you weren't trying to fill a specific role. And that was really nice because, for some strange reason, I always made friends with healers. I don't understand that. This game has more healers in it than I have seen in any MMO.
Yeah. I mean, well, you can pretty much almost say any game ever, because you can go back to other games like Overwatch, where nobody wants to be the healer. Like, healer is a hot commodity, and it is fantastic how many healers, because there's 3 of them, and all of them have their specific things. Like, Will likes his White Mage more, and his Astrologian, and I use the Scholar quite a bit, because it's the lazy healer.
Yeah, the lazy healer, because your pet does 90% of your healing.
You can go back to the older dungeons.
Like, unless you're in a boss fight.
Yeah.
There's a good chance you'll never actually cast a healing spell.
Yeah.
Just your fairy's doing all of it.
And you get the same dots as your summoner. Well, for the most part, most
of them. A lot weaker.
A lot weaker, but for the most part, and like me, like, I have almost every class to 60. Josh and Will, they have a few classes that aren't quite there yet. So,
well, I spend a lot of time on crafting. Yeah. Like, every single crafter I have is at least 50.
Well, what I would do with the scholar is I would just set myself to follow Will, because he's usually the one kind of towards the middle or up close to him. And my fairy would do all the work, and I'd just sit there and text on my cell phone in the middle of a dungeon. It is the lazy healer, and that's why I like the healer. There's not much to it compared to the white mage.
Yeah, he could easily just follow my bard because, oh, you're going to get hit. Well, I'm already moving, so.
Yeah, so here you go. Eos, do your thing. But yeah, it's on the fly changing. Makes it easier for you to get what you need. Fill that role that you need. And if you're someone like me, someone like, you know, even Will, you have at least one of every class to the point where if you need that role filled, we got you.
Yeah,
we can do it.
I have a magic DPS, a ranged DPS, a melee DPS, a tank,
and then all the healers.
No, three.
Did you miss Fowler up there?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Oh, okay.
That was a long, tedious grind because I hate the class so much. Actually, no, sorry. I leveled Summoner to 60 with Scholar stats and then just changed my gear.
That's true. I remember that.
But it was, you could fill pretty much any role. And if you had people in your party that, like, say you're playing with somebody who has absolutely no healers whatsoever. Okay, fine, I'll heal. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
And while you're going through, you can still roll on healing gear. You're not necessarily going to get it, but the multiple times you're going to be running stuff, you're eventually going to fill out those gear slots.
And that takes us to raids. Raids, you have a specific class that you want to play, but you're leveling a different class.
Crystal Tower,
Binding Coils
of World of Darkness.
The World of Darkness, and then the newest one that they added with Heaven's Ward.
Void Arc.
Those ones, if you get the right community, which now in Void Arc, it's probably more noticeable than, you know, all the other ones. But with those certain things, you can be like, hey guys, I'm in here as a healer because it was a faster queue time and I'm good as a healer. But right now, I want to level my dragoon. This dragoon. Can I please, if you guys don't have the armor, could you please pass on it so I can take it? And most of the time, people are pretty nice about it. They will pass on it so you can get it. There are the times when people will greet on it because they, you know,
the
greedy people. Way. Yep. But, I mean, for the most part, again, it goes back to the community being pretty good. They're like, oh yeah, don't worry about it. We'll make sure you get what you need.
I don't need it.
Yeah, exactly. I got something better. What do I need this for?
So, I mean, it's very, well, we keep going back to it, but the community is what makes or breaks an MMO.
And it made this game.
And it's what, and the problem is like, every person, the really, really nice people, they're big fans of the franchise, they're big fans of the game. And as long as you are not bad-mouthing Yoshi P., they are fans of you.
Yes. They're like, hey, thanks for supporting the game so I can continue to enjoy the game and support it as well.
So, Stormblood is
right around the corner.
When's it coming out?
It's, the first update is coming in January, so 3.5. And then 3.5 part 2 is going to come out.
3.55.
Yeah. It's going to come out in June. So January to June is when they're going to be.
So it'll be probably around August.
Probably around the same time that Heaven's Ward came out last year.
I don't even remember when that was.
It was around August, September. So we'll see, what is it, 3 new classes?
Verified 3.
One of them that everybody is pretty excited for, including myself, because it's been my favorite class. I may not have played Final Fantasy games, but I watched the movies. I played a couple of them since, you know, my tenure. And Red Mage. Absolutely love the Red Mage. And just because it's an all-around balanced character.
But it's all a matter of how they're going to end up doing
That's what my worry is.
Yoshi-P's not going to screw up Red Mage. It's his favorite class.
Yeah.
Well, that's why it hasn't been released yet.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to screw it up.
And that's, you know, I love the Red Mage because Final Fantasy XI came around. We had a character who just wanted to do nothing but power level us. So they stopped playing, Will and Josh, and then the other guy was never on. So
Red Mage,
I had to do it by myself. And Red Mage was the only class that I found I was able to do it with.
Red Mage was overpowered as all hell. You could tank, you could DPS, you could heal, it didn't matter. He specifically said, we're not letting that happen this time.
Oh, yeah.
They want the roles to fill the actual roles it's supposed to. In Final Fantasy XI, the Ninja, which was a massive DPS class, everybody ended up using it as a healer. The Samurai, which was supposed to be a tank, ended up as a DPS class, and Red Mage could do whatever the hell it wanted to.
Exactly.
They wanted to make sure that this time around that didn't happen. There is no argument that the Ninja is not a freaking tank this time around.
Oh, yeah. Well, and 100...
It is super squishy.
One of the things that I hope is... It kind of sucks for me if I think about it, because what they could do with, like, the Red Mage is make it a tank, and then, like, the Samurai, the healer, the DPS, and then they could do the Samurai as tank, and then Red Mage as DPS. I would hate it if they did that because they were talking samurai.
But they'll have a reason at why they do that.
And it would only suck for the sole purpose that I played Final Fantasy XI so late, I was a DPS samurai. I loved samurai. I had no idea it wasn't supposed to be a tank.
Yeah, samurai was originally.
And then if samurai comes out as a tank, Josh is our main tank. He likes to be the one that gets punched in the face.
Yeah, he flat out says that is his job: punch me in the face and point me in the right direction.
If they make it a tank, I'm not going to get to play samurai for a while. And that was my second favorite class. That and dancer. Loved dancer. Dancer was just fun.
But the suspected classes are red mage, which will end up being DPS.
I'm hoping,
because he wants samurai to be a tank. If samurai is in fact on the docket, which is another suspected class, and dancer, which dancer is a healing monk.
Yep.
You are a melee healer. Very weird concept. But then again, red mage is a melee caster.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see what they end up doing with those. But yet again, those are just suspicions. Red mage has actually been the only one that has been truly hinted at.
With Yoshi P standing up on stage with the Scarlet Witch shirt.
Yeah. Red Knight. Saying, here's your hint.
Yeah. And he did the same thing with Dark Knight when he wore the Batman shirt at the conference for Heavensward.
When the expansion comes out, it is going to be one healer, one DPS, and one tank. Mm-hmm. That is the model they are sticking with. And I'm really glad for that because I enjoy healing, Josh enjoys tanking, and you enjoy blowing stuff up.
Yep.
So... But, okay, so we're going to get to the part of... We're going to do how we are going to start reading games. Like, we are not going to give it a 9 out of 10 or 4.5 out of 5. We are going to rate them based off of what we think they're actually worth. Because we're never going to tell you, oh, buy this game, it's totally worth it. Look at how we said Watch Dogs and Battlefield. It's like, if you can rent it, go ahead. If you truly enjoy it, yes, we do feel that it may be worth $60. Not so much Battlefield.
Watch Dogs, yes.
Watch Dogs, I feel, would be, but I actually probably wouldn't rate it at $60. I'd say that's probably like a 40-something. No. So that's how we're actually going to do rating systems as Pwn Stars.
Okay.
What would you say Final Fantasy, A Realm Reborn, and Heaven's Ward combined? Because they are available for a rather decent price. And do you think that the monthly subscription is worth it?
So, the best part about Final Fantasy, A Realm Reborn, and Heavensward, we'll put them together, is, yes, I think, we'll just say their price right now, as a standard price setting, which is $40, I think, for both of them.
Yes, $40 for the two combined.
I would 100% back that $40.
I would say it's worth far more than the $40.
If we just use that as a platform, yes, I would say this could be full release title cost. And maybe even higher than that, like $80 for all of them.
I spent, I want to say $200 total between the two, just to purchase them.
Yes.
Because I got the collector's edition for both.
And, well, I just bought the regular, and then I got the free upgrade, and then I bought the regular. Well, no, I did get the digital deluxe of Heavensward, so I probably spent about $80, I would say, for Heavensward.
I think it was $80 for the Heavensward digital collector's edition. Because the physical one was just impossible to find.
Yeah. So I would say, I would give it, it's $100. Between 80 and 100, that range that it was when they were to try to buy them both, plus the subscription. Now, when you buy them, you get a free 60 days or 30 days.
I believe it's 30,
yeah. So you get a free 30 days, so you give it a try if you like it. I mean, now it's only $40. You're only out $40, boo-hoo. But if you really, really like the game, that subscription is worth it. And it's just like I talked about with... Well, I didn't talk about it yet, but like...
It's what, $13?
Yeah, well, for you, it's $13.
No, for me, it's $10.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, you have the legacy, right? So you have.
I have legacy, price. So I only spend. It's. I thought, isn't it 13 if you have one character on up to 8 worlds?
Yep.
Or you could pay 15 to have multiple characters on as many worlds as you want. I think it's 8 characters per world.
Yep.
Now, let's go back to the. You do not have to make more than one character. The advantage to making more than one character is the fact that you have the storyline quest to level you up.
Yeah. Well, and not just that, but you can, you know, have different friends on different, you know, servers based on the same world.
I can do that, as long as I can go over 8 worlds.
Exactly. So, I mean, and it's like, the subscription is well worth money, and it's the exact same reason why they charge you for Xbox Live. It's the exact same reason why they charge you for PlayStation Plus now if you want to do the gaming. The money that you spend on the subscriptions for these games just doesn't go because they're money-hungry people. The money that you spend on that subscription goes to making the game better. How much free stuff have they given us due to updates? That shit isn't cheap.
I think since Heaven's Ward came out, they have probably given at least 20 dungeons,
mm-hmm.
probably 15 hard modes, like 2 raids.
Yep.
An actual end game raid, not just a gear up raid like Void Arc.
Mm-hmm.
The Fists of Alexander.
Yep.
And then the. Whatever.
Basically,
the
all the body parts of Alexander.
And then they added the extreme mode. They added so many primal fights.
Yep.
Primals are basically, think your summons.
Yeah. And like I said, that $12 a month you spend for that one character, that goes to giving you that stuff for free. 100%
yeah,
I agree with that.
It's not one of those, here's your expansion, deal with it.
This is what you get for another year before we give you another one, or another year and a half.
Yeah, we're not just going to wait until the next expansion comes out. We are going to expand this expansion at least the same amount of content that you got on the original. And this isn't just item. This isn't just random dungeons. This is story as well. And
yeah.
In a massively multiplayer online environment, the story is a hard thing to actually keep people enthralled in.
Yeah.
But they still haven't given up on it because people still love this story.
Yep.
So they just they're basically just giving you an entire expansion in between your expansions.
Yeah, that's essentially what they're doing. It may not be 100% new content for the dungeons. I mean, they give you a few new ones and then they hard mode previous ones. So it's not like, you know.
The hard modes are still really fun. You're not doing the same dungeon. You're in the same environment. You're fighting the same beast tribe.
You're in the same area, just not starting in the same area, and it doesn't look anything like it did before.
The
biggest one would be Braithlock's Longstep Heart. You can still tell where you are when you're running through it, but you can tell it's completely different than how you left it.
I think Halitali.
Well, I don't like to talk about Halitali. That one was boring. But anyways.
I like Halitali. I don't like the original Halitali. I like hard mode.
I've played the hard mode Halitali so much that it's just like, whatever.
But literally, the only thing that looks the same is you realize that you are still in this gladiatorial coliseum-like thing.
Mm-hmm.
You're literally going through a different wing of it.
Yeah.
And everything is insanely more difficult. The boss fights in every single fight in this game. The main boss fights. You have the occasional tank and spank here and there, but for the most part, there is strategy to every single fight in this game.
So how about you?
Me?
Your rating system.
$40. I'd pay that again. It's definitely worth the $40. Even if you get the combination digital collector's edition, which I think is like 70.
Mm-hmm.
It's worth it, just for the added stuff that you get.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, you're just getting in-game stuff, but the game's worth that.
Oh, yeah.
And, sorry, I just love my fat chocobo.
Yeah, the fat chocobo is awesome. And the mogul.
Oh, that's one other thing. The game actually rewards you for continuing to subscribe.
Yeah.
The longer you subscribe, you get unique mounts, you get unique familiars, emotes, just random stuff. And you're just getting it for continuing to play.
Yeah, all you have to do is just keep paying that $12 a month. I mean,
I think it was 180 days. You play for 6 months, which is very easy to do in an MMO.
Yep.
And you get a behemoth as a mount with a throne on its back.
Yeah, that you just walk through.
Which is really hilarious for my itty bitty character.
Yep.
But, I mean, that's not a giant selling point. It's just kind of cool.
It's a nice thing that they did for you.
Yeah.
The Fantasia Potion, if you get bored, because that's the first reward is the Fantasia Potion.
Yeah, you can, say you decided I'm sick of looking like this, they give you an item, like I think it's after 60 days.
Yep.
60 days of paying.
The first 2 months.
Allows you to completely remake your character race-wise. You keep all of your gear, you keep all your stats.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you have race-specific gear, which there is so few of that in the game, that doesn't really matter.
Well, I mean, there's a lot, but it's not useful.
It's all cosmetic.
Yeah, it's all cosmetic stuff.
But you keep everything.
Yep.
You're just literally changing what you look like.
Say from a human to a cat person. That's literally just like that. Like, I've been the human since the start of the game. I wanted to play as the cat person. Fantasia Potion, done. When the new race came out with Heaven's Ward, which is another good thing that they did for you, they give you a new race with Heaven's Ward.
We don't know if you're going to want Stormblood.
I'm not going to say we are, just in case we
don't. Well, they hinted at it before I think it was like 2.4 is when they brought in What's-Her-Face, and you have a new race.
Yeah.
So I don't think they've done that in Heavensward.
But anyways, you could just change at the drop of a hat if you want. And so I just completely changed the way Jundar and Cactar looked.
Well, also, when you buy Heavensward, if you had gotten it within so long, they gave you a free Fantasia potion.
And they gave you three if you got the digital collectors, like we all bought.
So, yeah, I would definitely say it's worth it. And as for the subscription, I don't think I can really talk on that. Since I played the original Final Fantasy XIV, I actually pay less. It's called being a legacy account. It's their way of thanking you for having played it.
Yeah.
Do I think that the subscription costs at $13 a month, or $15, even if you really
want to play it? If you want the extra characters.
Yeah, I would say it's worth it. I mean, I played WoW for, God, I want to say 5 years. So I paid the subscription cost for that. And this game just, to me, I'm not saying WoW is a horrible game, but to me, Final Fantasy is far better.
Oh, yeah.
It's WoW had gotten outdated, even with all the expansions. And it's still an enjoyable game for a lot of people. And I don't knock them for that.
No, you're going to play what you're going to play.
Yeah.
And it's still fun to some extent. It's just I got really bored with it.
But yes, I would definitely say it's worth the subscription. It's worth the cost of the game itself. And I rarely will ever say a game is worth its original cost.
Oh, yeah. Like,
especially when I paid so much for it.
Yeah.
But even if I was paying $60 each, it was worth it. I mean, the amount of enjoyment I got out of that. I mean, if you take into account that I'm over a crap ton of days, I have probably paid a penny for every hour I've played this.
Oh, yeah.
And you're not going to get that out of a whole lot of games.
Oh, yeah. It's well worth the subscription. Like I said, they're charging you for a reason. It's to keep the servers up. It's to keep them maintained. It's to keep pushing out those mini expansions before the expansion with the updates.
And ever since the colossal failure of the launch, the error 90,000.
Yep.
Which, that was just, it was Final Fantasy XIV. They were not expecting what they got.
Oh, yeah.
They basically tripled their servers in. That was them just putting the money down. That wasn't, they had that sitting around. That wasn't what they were earning. But they put basically every cent that they earned on the game, and then some, into upping the servers to fix the initial issue. And it was only for a couple weeks. But, I mean, it was a very frustrating couple weeks. But it was only for a couple weeks, and ever since then, they are
there's literally no ball logging times.
If there's any downtime.
The only time that I notice like login times is when something big is happening. So like patch 3.5 comes out. There's probably going to be maybe some login issues just because everybody's wanting to get it going before the next big expansion.
But for that, you're just going to be waiting in a queue.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's not going to be like, oh, our server's crashed, because they literally put a population limit in. And to make sure that they didn't have that issue, the big issue that they had with the 90,000 was people just staying logged in.
Yeah.
And if you're AFK for so long,
it just kicks you out.
It kicks you out because it needs the open seat.
Yep.
And you have no advantage just be sitting there.
Yeah, it literally is just keeping you in. And that's what caused an initial issue with the servers the first time, which thank God they put in that kick time, because people took so long to get into the service, they didn't want to leave. They would go to work and everything, but keep their PS4 or PC on, and they would stay logged in. So that's a spot that they're doing nothing, but they don't want to log out because they might not get logged in, stopping the other person from getting into the server.
And that didn't go on very long.
Nope. They made sure they put an end to that.
Yeah. They put an emergency patch out, and that fixed it. So your money is going to good use with this game.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really hard to say that in regards to a lot of different games. I mean, WoW is very good about a little downtime. I mean, I played on a server that crashed constantly, though, so we nicknamed it Skull Crasher for a reason. But that was too many people. I mean, with the population limit, that really helps. And if they ever have a server that just has way too many people, way too much influx, they put a hold on character creation for that server for a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Just so people decide, okay, I'm not going to stick around on a server.
I'm going to go somewhere else.
I've got open slots.
Mm-hmm.
Or they will suspend a character on an account that's sitting there, so they know that that's open. The moment you renew your account, there is no argument with them. That character's available.
Yeah.
It's just, it opens the population seat.
Yep.
So they've done a really good job in regards to that.
Yeah.
The big thing in regards to Final Fantasy XIV is, remember how I said Square was going to go bankrupt? This game literally saved them.
Oh, yeah. I saw their profit margin.
Their profit margin has gone through the roof. And just the graphics are beautiful. Everything is rather fluid in regards to movement and visual effects. And the music is on par with any other Final Fantasy.
Oh, yeah. The music is fantastic. It's the only time I ever get bored of the music in Final Fantasy.
Snowcloak.
Well, besides, I don't get bored with it. I get sleepy. There's a difference.
Snowcloak's basically a lullaby.
It is. The only time I get bored with the music is if I've been riding the chocobo for too long. And even it's still really fun, but it's just like...
I want to ride my chocobo all day.
Sorry, essentially, Final Fantasy 15. Thank God for PlayStation and their, you know, user agreement with Spotify, because I just pop that on while playing Final Fantasy from time to time.
But, so, yes, we would definitely say go ahead and pick it out. Pick it up. Wow. Go ahead and pick it up if you like MMOs, or you're a giant fan of the Final Fantasy franchise.
Oh, yeah.
Because even PC if you're not, or PlayStation, doesn't matter.
And even if you're not a fan of MMOs, like, you've only tried, like, WoW. Still, give it a try. I mean, you don't even have
they
to
still
buy...
have a, they still have a trial, even for the PlayStation.
Yeah, I mean, and if you don't want to buy Heaven's War just yet, because you don't know if, as you get further, you can still buy A Realm Reborn by itself.
Yeah, that's not a bundle. That's not a bundle savings price. It's $20 either way.
Yeah,
And A Realm Reborn constantly goes on sale for $10 just to get people introduced. Yeah.
And like Will said, on PC and on the PlayStation 4, or PS3 even, they still have the trial version where you can play up to level 10. So, give it a try. Literally, give it a try. It is, if you don't like MMOs or you're just a Final Fantasy fan, it's well worth just trying. At least just try.
And they are, and like right now, if you've ever played Final Fantasy, they are having a comeback event for the entire month of December.
Yep.
Where you can play, basically, you get 96 hours from the first time you log in.
Yeah, so it's, I mean, what kind of sucks about it is as soon as you log out, that time still keeps ticking. But, I mean, you got, it's 96 hours, four days. Four whole days worth of playtime that you can cram in there.
To catch up a bit and realize if it's worth paying the subscription, because when they put out these huge patches, it takes a long time to finish that patch.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, if you're a fan of either one, go ahead and check it out. And...
yeah, so, like I said, just make sure you check it out, at least give it a try.
So, yep. Have a good one, guys. Later. Hey guys, if you liked what you heard, then head on over to Twitter and let us know at @Pwn_stars.
Or help us get heard by liking and sharing us on Facebook at Pwn Stars Podcast.
Or hell, just shoot us an email at pwnstarspodcast@gmail.com. Let us know what you want to hear about.
Or how much we suck. Either way is fine.
Make sure to join us every Tuesday by finding us at pwnstars.podomatic.com.
Or on that weird iTunes thing. No idea how exactly to use it, but Will told me to mention it because apparently we're on there too.
Okay, that's enough Pwn Stars for now. Later.